For this morning's public reading of God's Word, I would like to invite us to Luke's Gospel once again, chapter 1. And here we're going to be finishing up this particular chapter. We're going to pick up with verse 66 all the way down to the end. Okay? Verse 66 to the end. Now, we're picking up where John the Baptist is born. Zacharias, his father, at this point, still cannot talk verbally because of his unbelief to the message that the angel gave him 9 months or so earlier in the temple when he was burning the incense on the altar of prayer. Elizabeth now bears John, or bears the son, and everybody in the family and the neighbors are anticipating the naming of the child. And by custom, it should have been called, or he should have been called, Zacharias, by custom, especially being the firstborn son to that family. And the mother says, oh no, time out. John is going to be his name. And then all the relatives and the neighbors pipe up and say, no one by your entire extended family is known by that name. What does the father say? And so Zacharias motions for a slate, maybe a piece of chalk or something to write on. And as he's writing John, his vocal cords are now opened. And he verbalizes, his name shall be John. And we saw last time the great impact that this had upon neighbors and family and how that began to spread abroad in that community, which I mentioned last week. In all likelihood, when Luke got his material to write the gospel, he had the opportunity of probably speaking to many of the eyewitnesses were here on that day when John was born and when he was named. Well, with that in mind, verse 66. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, quote, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him, serve God, that is, without fear. Serve him without fear, and verse 75, serve him in holiness and righteousness before our God, before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, now Zacharias turns his attention to his baby's boy, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission or the removal or the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high had visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Unquote. And the child, that's John, grew, waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. Well, notice in verses 67 that as soon as John is named, God the Holy Spirit, the third blessed person of the Godhead, fills him. And when Zacharias is filled, he begins to pronounce in utterance. He begins to prophesy. He begins to proclaim divine truth. And that divine truth is found in verses 68 all the way down to verses 79. All the way down to verse 79. So from verses 68 to 79 is what comes flowing forth out of Zacharias' mouth, because God the Holy Spirit has come upon him. And God the Holy Spirit takes complete control of the very mind and the very mouth and the very tongue of Zacharias and brings forth this pronouncement that is related, if you've been paying attention, to two individuals, John the Baptist, his son, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come on the scene shortly after John's birth. Notice verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people. Notice that visited and redeemed are in the past tense, and yet Christ has not even yet been born, let alone lived his earthly ministry of some 30 years, let alone gone to the cross and died for our sins, let alone was buried, let alone was risen from the dead, and let alone ascended to the Father's right hand. Zacharias is able by faith to look down, if you will, and come to the realization that God is doing some great things, starting with the birth of his son. That John the Baptist is going to be a key player in the plan of redemption, because John the Baptist was going to be the one to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to God's ancient covenant people, the Jews, at this time. John the Baptist was going to be the one to make a public introduction. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 69 solidifies that. Has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now the word horn, when used symbolically as it is being used here, refers to power, strength, and might. And so here Zacharias is saying that the Lord God has risen up salvation through the power and the energy and the might of someone called David's servant. And this is a point that verse 69 is pointing to Jesus Christ. Then in verses 70 and 71 and 72, 73, Zacharias goes all the way back to the Old Testament, picking up like in Genesis 3:15, the promised seed of the woman. Then picking up with Noah, the fact that the Lord would no longer destroy the world by a global flood. Then going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the forefathers of the nation of Israel. God made certain promises to these individuals that a redeemer and a savior, a king, would be coming. And this individual would die for the sins of God's people in order to redeem them and to save them and to forgive them and to grant them a home in heaven. Then verses 74, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him, serve God without fear. Beloved, when it comes to man-made religion is based on making you fear God in a very evil way. Man-made religion teaches that God is a one-eyed monster with a big fly swatter, and every time you make the wrong move, he's going to smack you down. That's not true. We serve God without a twisted fear. Should we fear God? Yes. Should we reverence him? Yes. Should we honor him? Yes. But God is not a one-eyed monster who takes pleasure in inflicting pain. And notice also, we are to serve him, notice, without a misplaced fear, but we are to serve him in holiness and righteousness before God all the days of our life. Beloved, a Christian doesn't show his life for simply a couple of hours on Sunday morning when they go to church. A Christian is someone who lives that life Monday through Sunday, 24/7, 365 days of the year until you die. We worship God, we serve him in all different capacities every day, not just on Sunday morning. And then Zacharias turns his attention to his son, that this child will be called the prophet of the highest. And notice, he shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. Whom did John the Baptist introduce to the people? Jesus Christ. What does your Bible here call Jesus Christ? The Lord. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord God who came to this earth and took upon himself a human body. And why did Jesus come? Verse 77, to give the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. The word remission means to be removed, to be sponged away, to be forgiven. What else did Jesus come to do? In John, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. We're not talking about literal light, like the light of the sun or the light of a light bulb. Well, we're talking about spiritual light, spiritual understanding. Until you know your Bible, you will always be walking in darkness. You will always be walking in a fog or in a mist. You need to get into your Bible. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to get into the Bible. Stop making excuses and stop making other people distract you from getting into your book. And then finally, verse 80, how does the Bible tell us about the rest of John's days? He grew, he waxed strong in spirit, meaning his inner being, his inner man, and like Elijah, like even Jesus, like Paul, he spends time in the desert. And that's where God chooses to mold someone for special work and for a special calling. And so John stayed in the desert, being molded by God, until finally John would come on the scene and would make his presentation of the Christ. Amen.